Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that sends the frozen groundswell under it and spills the upper boulders in the sun and makes gaps even two can pass abreast. At spring mending time, my neighbor and I walk the line and set the wall between us once again. Good fences make good neighbors, he says. But I ask, why is it so? Before I built a wall, I'd ask to know what I was walling in or walling out, and to whom I was like to give offense. Something there is that doesn't love a wall, that wants it down. And he likes having thought of it so well, he says again, good fences make good neighbors. Well, Robert Frost's famous poem, Mending Wall, captures, I think, our ambivalence about walls. Something there is within us that doesn't love them, yet still we build them. From the Great Wall of China to the Berlin Wall, from Hadrian's Wall to what is called the Security Wall of Israel, we build walls for protection, for security. We build them to shut others out and to bring us safely within. We build walls in our hearts. And like Robert Frost's neighbor, our actions seem to affirm their usefulness and their necessity. Pastor and writer John Buchanan suggests that walls define us. They help establish who we are, and in some way, who we aspire to be against those on the other side of the wall. As Buchanan also notes, we have walls of customs and culture, walls of race and ethnicity, walls built on centuries upon centuries of hostility and hatred. And sadly enough, nowhere do we see walls more impregnable than in religion. For religion can be the constructor of some of the most formidable walls that we can imagine, walls that separate people and then provide them with divine justification for shutting out and closing off and keeping back others who are labeled the outsider, the infidel, the heretic, the Gentile, the unclean, the unsaved, the sinner, the lost, the damned and the wayward. Martin Luther King Jr. once suggested that modern humanity suffers from a kind of poverty of spirit which stands in glaring contrast to our scientific and technological advancements. King writes, "We have learned to fly the air like birds and swim the seas like fish, and yet we haven't learned to walk the earth as brothers and sisters. We've allowed the means by which we live to outdistance the ends for which we live." In our gospel text for today, Jesus has just come out of the wilderness and he's returned to his hometown to begin his public ministry. He's been invited to speak in his hometown synagogue. And when he was handed the scroll of Isaiah and unrolled it to what we know as Isaiah 61, he read the words that you heard Pastor Johnson read. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Well, the hometown crowd was quite pleased. In fact, Luke says, "All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came out of his mouth." "My, he has a nice voice," they must have said to themselves. "What a promising young man," a mother might have said. "Why, Joseph and Mary must be so proud." Perhaps they thought this hometown boy would finally affirm their beliefs. He would preach and champion their best causes. Their enemies would be his enemies, and their values, his values. But these accolades about this hometown boy doing well were only for a moment, because Jesus then proceeds to start talking about Elijah and Elisha, who gave assistance to people who weren't their own when their own people were in trouble. He said that this text from Isaiah about deliverance for the captives and oppressed and the poor was not coming to fulfillment just for the people of Nazareth alone, but for others beyond Nazareth, even Moabites, Philistines, Samaritans, Gentiles, Romans. And then the text says that the congregation took Jesus out to the edge of town, to the brow of the hill, so they might hurl him off the cliff. Wow, now there's a response to a sermon. Well, after my dad died, I found a story that he had saved from World War II. And it's about two friends, two soldiers in France, one a Protestant and one a Roman Catholic, who were in a furious battle just a few yards from the front line. A shell exploded near the Protestant young man, and sadly it killed him instantly. After the battle, his body was taken to a nearby Catholic parish and cemetery, where his friends were hoping that he could be buried. The kindly priest consented to perform the religious rites over the body, but he said that the young man could not be buried inside the parish cemetery because it had been consecrated for Catholics only. However, the priest did offer to bury the young man near the cemetery fence so it could be as near as possible to that sacred soil. Well, a couple days later, the Catholic friend went to visit his friend's grave, and to his astonishment, the priest took them inside the fence. "There must be a mistake here, Father, because I remember him being buried outside the fence." And the priest smiled and he just gently said, "Oh, there's no mistake here. You see, the church law said that I was not able to bury your friend inside the fence, but it said nothing about moving the fence, so it included your friend." And I think this story so beautifully illustrates what Jesus is trying to tell us here. For something there is that doesn't love a wall, and that something is God. Did you hear Jesus' words? "Today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." It's always been curious to me that when Jesus said that, there was still poverty in Israel, there was still injustice. Perhaps Jesus meant that the remediation of all of those problems had begun that day. So here we are 2,000 years later, as we gather, we are proclaiming that sacred and divine truth, that the scripture has been and is being fulfilled in our hearing. We are the human assets God needs to fulfill the vision that Christ proclaims. I must say that I am so extremely proud of our church. Since 1920, we have been involved in ministries to homeless shelters, food pantries, youth mentorship, inner city ministry, homes for intellectually disabled adults, and homes for vulnerable seniors. And on and on and on they go. Visible signs of our attempts to break down walls that divide and exclude, that harm and hurt. Bit by bit, good people like you stepping up and daring to stand on the other side of walls that divide. As I said, next week we'll be collecting cash and food donations to help those who have been affected by the partial government shutdown. We are called to help our brothers and sisters in need. For something there is that doesn't love a wall that wants it down. Amen.